This is the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley, and we now turn to another segment of Compass Radio, our joint project with Compass House in Medford. For most of us, hobbies and physical activities are enjoyable but routine components of our lives. For people with mental illness, though, pursuing a hobby can serve as an invaluable tool in their overall treatment program. This month, Compass House members tell us about how hobbies and activities help them cope with mental illness. Those activities are as varied as the people who participate in Compass House. Here are Anastasia, Kimberly, and Linda.
I do creative writing, so poetry, fan fiction, short stories. I do crocheting. I do some sewing. I hang out with friends. I'll go for walks sometimes. A lot of the time, I'll just watch Netflix and YouTube.
I'm an avid reader. My neighbor just built me a bike yesterday, so I got to enjoy 4 miles today on that, and that was just lovely. I power walk. I listen to a lot of music. I garden. Yeah, I write music, I paint, I am in a band with another gal. I also, in the mornings, it's my quiet time, have my music on low and a couple candles, and I just sit out on the patio and I just embrace the morning, and that just sets the tone for my day.
Play with my dogs. My animals are very important to me in my life, because if it wasn't for them, I would not be active.
For Anastasia, having a hobby helps her cope with mental illness because it moves the focus of her attention.
With an activity like crocheting or knitting, it's very repetitive. It's very calming. You get to do something with your hands that you have to focus on, and it gets you out of your head. The same thing can be said for writing or for yoga. As far as mental illness goes, what it does is it kind of grounds and centers yourself in the present, and it really helps you to focus on something other than whatever is going on up here.
And you can imagine the physical reference to up here. She's pointing to her head. Another Compass House participant, Linda, sees activity as a key ingredient for anybody who, like her, is afflicted with depression. In her case, taking care of 6 dogs keeps her off the couch and out of the house, and she thinks other people can benefit from her experience.
They just got to be willing to change their habits, and it's hard to do. I mean, it's possible because I'm a good example. Because if you're just going to lay around, watch TV, you're not getting the oxygen to your brain that you really need. You need to be able to get up and start moving and get active in different activities and just get going. Because if you don't, you're not going to change. I went years just not wanting to leave the house. All I wanted to do is watch TV, sit around and eat. And it's not healthy for me. And then I was just in depression. I just didn't want to do anything. I would sleep, have everything closed down in the dark. And it's not healthy. My animals are very important to me in my life. Because if it wasn't for them, I would not be active.
Now, looking at a hobby or a physical activity as a solution to a mental illness like depression is too simplistic. Sometimes a person's mental illness actually gets in the way of pursuing an activity they love, which becomes a vicious cycle. Kimberly tells Compass House volunteer Sanford White what that's like.
Well, when I'm battling depression, which I am bipolar 1, I'm told, instead of going out and watering my flowers or my strawberries, I'm curled up on the couch and just sobbing. And I'm not functioning, and so it does get in the way of them. I'm finding now, and it's just because those last few weeks have just been really, really crazy, that by having a routine that keeps me more in a habit of, you know, get up, feed the cats, have my tea, water my flowers, because then it's like an accountability of, you know, I need to do these things, and so it becomes a rhythm. But, yeah, when the depression gets really bad, I tend to hunker down and I isolate. But now that the weather's nice and we're not having all the rain, that should lift.
Well, we weren't having all the rain, but anyway. Anastasia echoes Kimberly's experience of what happens when her mental illness starts to get her into a cycle.
When somebody's depressed or anxious, if their mental illness affects their motivation to do something...
Right.
Which for me sometimes it does, as I don't want to do anything. Yes, I have a hobby, or I want to do this, or I want to do that, but I just don't feel like doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I start feeling bad because I don't want to do some of my favorite things, so that makes me feel worse. So it actually becomes a cycle where I feel bad, you know, because of the depression or the anxiety or whatever, and I'm not very motivated, but then I start kicking myself for, let's say, being lazy and not being motivated,
right.
And that gets me more depressed, and it's a whole mess.
How do you manage yourself out of that?
It kind of just passes on its own eventually.
Okay.
Like, I'll be watching videos or doing whatever, and then suddenly I'll get a burst of motivation, and I'll actually get up and maybe start doing housework or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. So, not quite hobby-related, but being productive, feeling like I'm being productive, actually is very relaxing to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, a lot of people call it busy work. I like it, because again, it gets me out of my head.
Right.
You know, like doing dishes or, you know, cooking or something, it gets me out of my head.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me feel like I'm actually being productive.
You get a sense of accomplishment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, like that immediate gratification of, yes, I did something that I can be proud of.
Yeah, I swept the floor this morning. I patted myself on the back.
And that's what Compass House is great for, because... You know, it is work-ordered, but it's these tasks that she can be proud of. The
mm-hmm.
very first day I was here, in the culinary unit, we made French toast.
Ah.
And it was literally the very first time that I had, maybe not the first time, but one of few that I had helped make French toast.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so proud of myself because I was able to flip them over on the grill
mm-hmm.
without burning myself and without burning the toast.
Very
and
good.
People actually
good.
Enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And... See, that, you know, even if it's not hobbies or recreation, I mean, to me it was fun because I also enjoy cooking.
Right.
Like, that's what I didn't mention, but I also enjoy cooking once
mm-hmm.
in a while. But what it was is it was very rewarding. Let's say you have a hobby and you, let's say, walked around the block today, or you crocheted, like, I don't know, 5 rows of your project, or you wrote a page of whatever story you're working on. That's all very rewarding,
mm-hmm.
and it's very immediate, and it gives you that sense of accomplishment right now. So, you know, maybe you're not doing so good at work, or maybe social, you know, whatever it is that you're not feeling so good about yourself about
mm-hmm.
right that moment, these hobbies or these activities or even doing things around the house give you that immediate sense of accomplishment
mm-hmm.
and that immediate gratification of, hey, I did something.
And that again, Anastasia from Compass House. Finally, we hear once again from Kimberly, who puts the hobbies and activities into the larger context of approaching mental illness.
It seems like the folk here have, we used to call them coping mechanisms
mm-hmm.
in the olden days.
Now we call them tools.
Tools, much
tools,
better.
Yes.
Much better, yeah.
Because you can cope and maintain,
mm-hmm.
but when you have tools that you can actually utilize, and they give you a whole toolbox of things, and you have to use them to know how to use them. And the more you use them, the more they become second nature. And pretty soon, when something, like, horrific happens, instead of you going from 0 to 100, you go, like, 0 to maybe 6 or 7, and
mm-hmm.
then you're able to bring them back down to 2 or 3.
Okay.
You know, just by looking at the situation, do I want to use, you know, looking at your behaviors, everything that's going on, just an awareness and a mindfulness of not only yourself, but your surrounding elements
mm-hmm.
and atmosphere.
I don't know that there's a big distinction to be made between... a hobby and a tool.
Mm-hmm.
Is there?
A hobby would be bird watching.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also use that as a tool, because you can take that 20 minutes or hour or whatever and use that as your you time, you
mm-hmm.
know, where you're just maybe sorting through some stuff, some emotions that come up later. And you have choice. You don't have to respond. You can say, you know what, this is really upsetting me right now, so I'm going to address it for 15 minutes, and then I'm putting it away.
Okay.
And that's the tool. That's the, let's do this with this, rather than sitting and dwelling all day and letting it just consume
right.
you. So I think that they work hand in hand, really.
So you use hobbies the same way?
I do.
So your music, for example?
Yeah, my music. That's my escape.
At Kimberly from Compass House. This is Compass Radio on the Jefferson Exchange, our monthly visit with the folks from Compass House, which is a clubhouse for people recovering from mental illness. And now in the studio, Elizabeth Hazelwood, Executive Director, is with us once again, Bryce Harding, the Business Coordinator, and John, or JP, a member of Compass House. Good to have you all here. Elizabeth, we've been talking about hobbies and diversions as ways to help the recovery process in mental illness, and I want to zero in on that first, because it seems that people still understand so little about mental illness, the very idea of recovery may be somewhat foreign to them.
Absolutely. Things that we take for granted on our daily lives, like getting up in the morning and going for a walk and just clearing your head, may be something that someone's not able to do because of their symptoms. You know, when you are feeling incredibly depressed, getting up and going outside is terrifying and sometimes not even possible. And that has so many effects on so many different aspects. A lot of people don't realize that people with mental illness on average die 25 years earlier than people without. That's a staggering statistic. And a lot of that has to do with things like being active and taking good care of yourself and things that are choices, but those choices become sometimes harder.
Let's talk to John or JP. Good to see you here for the first time. And so give us a sense of what – apparently you didn't even know that the clubhouse model for mental health recovery existed until you stumbled on Compass House this year.
That's true. Actually, the activities are very helpful for me, but what I enjoy the most is being social, the ability to go somewhere and listen to people that have similar problems as myself and learn from their experiences other than hitting my head against the wall. And I really appreciate it because the different hobbies there are just so extensive due to the member. It's a melting pot of different things that people bring, and the energy is just amazing.
What kinds of things have you had a chance to learn from other members there in your short time?
Just the ability to deal with situations as they come and just to have a positive attitude behind that. And I want to thank God for that, but I also want to thank the Compass House for being the resource here, being so far from home. I'm from Lubbock, Texas, and I was not aware of any clubhouse models, you know, in my area before this. And so I'm very grateful that they're there for me.
How'd you end up in Medford all the way from Lubbock, Texas?
A series of bad choices. No, opportunity.
Came looking for a better job or something?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. All right. Bryce, give us an idea of what the daily life is like for the folks at Compass House. I mean, they're coming in and doing what exactly?
Sure. So our model is built around the work order day, which is essentially keeping the clubhouse running so we can be a resource for people. My work in the business unit is paying bills, keeping the lights on, getting the money input. And we have a huge variety of tasks for people with different levels of ability, levels of experience, and it's all work that is critical to our functioning. So I work side by side with our members on everything from mopping the bathrooms to paying our rent or getting my own payroll entered and sent into our company. And so we give people a place to be, and like Anastasia was talking about, that feeling of accomplishment that you're doing important work, because we are.
But Elizabeth, it's not really a therapeutic environment per se, right? I mean, you're not really focusing on the very specifics of mental illness there so much as you're just giving people a place to do and to be.
Absolutely. The whole clubhouse philosophy is that we are first and foremost a community of people. The community has a place for people to come where our members are wanted, needed, and expected. If JP doesn't show up for a week, we're going to be missing him. We're going to be wondering what's happening. We're going to be calling him and making sure he's okay and making sure that he knows that he is missed. And, you know, things that come up and that JP does, like sometimes he will go to the behavioral health unit and do presentations. Just having that phone call and being like, hey, you know, we have one of those tomorrow. You're really fantastic at it. Can you come in and help us out? Having that sense of like wanting, and you know that people care about you and want you to be there, is a huge important part of all of our lives.
But as I heard the members talk on the recordings, and I want to thank again Sanford White for doing two of those, and I guess Bryce did the other one. As I heard people talk about just how hard it can be, and you talked too about how hard it can be just to get out of bed some days. I mean, it's a long way removed from continuing with your hobby when it's just an issue even getting your feet on the floor.
Absolutely. And that's kind of why we have Clubhouse model built the way it is. It's a lot harder when, you know, you get up in the morning, you're like, I have to go run 5 miles. Who wants to run 5 miles? Whereas if you're like, oh, you know, I promised I'd be there, and you don't even realize that you're getting involved, and a month later, you're like, wow, I've been running 5 miles every single day. And it's just more of a natural progression of things. And then it's easier. It's easier to get back into, I guess, the real world and not so much stuck in your head and the symptoms that can be debilitating and overwhelming.
John, JP, you were saying when you came into the room that you discovered the place by accident. You've established that already, but Easter Sunday, I mean, it was open on a holiday. And so tell us about that day.
That's correct. I was actually walking home from church, and they were open. And I've already visited them enough to they knew that I was been kind of scoping it out. So when I went in there, I felt such love and a part of something bigger than myself. And I just needed it so bad on that day because, like I said, I'm so far away from family and friends. And it was just something that I needed. And I believe in these guys. And they believe in me. And that's what's amazing.
It sounds like you were very slowly dipping your toes into the pool.
That's exactly what I tell everyone. But I don't encourage that because I feel if I would have just dive right in at the beginning, then I'd be much more progressive in some of the things that I'm struggling with.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the things that you do on a daily basis at Compass House to keep yourself occupied?
Well, there's an underwater basket weaving course that I'm that I'm interested in.
I don't believe you.
Oh, okay. Well, that's because it's not true. Participate in the kitchen. I participate in the outreach department, and that's one of the things that I love doing is being able to go out and tell people, you know, the opportunities that are there for them. Also, this was a great springboard for me to establish other services that are within the community, like Jackson County Mental Health. You know, I was afraid that I'd be a burden, you know, on their caseload because of, you know, the fear of the mental health industry being cut because of
issues in Jackson County.
That's right. Yeah. And so going to the Compass House, I realized, hey, you know what? It's not a problem to ask for help. You know, even heroes need help, mm-hmm. you know, so, and I don't know where I'd be without them.
So, Elizabeth, you moved to a new location, I think, since the last time we talked to you, or I had just moved in last time we talked to you. How's that going?
We've purchased it. We have not yet moved in. Ah. We have a beautiful new building that is diagonal across the street from our current location. We are going to be renovating it over the next year and a half to 2 years, so that way we can move in. It's very exciting to have. It's 11,000 square foot, so that's so much room to be able to provide so many services.
Compared to what now?
We're at about 3,600.
Okay, so just about triple what you
yes,
got. Okay,
absolutely.
And so will members get to work on the remodel?
Yes, we actually met with the architects yesterday, and all of our meetings are open to members, staff, and board members, and everyone has an equal opinion on that. Everything is decided on consensus.
Okay, we always learn a lot when we talk to you folks from Compass House. Compass Radio is a joint session with JPR and Compass House. I want to thank members Anastasia, Kimberly, and Linda on recording. I want to thank JP for coming in here today. I want to thank Bryce and Sanford White for handling the interviews, and Elizabeth Hazelwood, thank you for coming by again, as always.